From the song that we sing, you might get the impression that we're going to talk about anger. And you're right, we are. The Bible speaks about two kinds of anger. There's the anger that's the quick, fly-off-the-handle, hot-temper anger. And then there's the slow, methodical, vengeful type of anger. Both are dangerous, but for different reasons. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 8, it reads, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." And it might become a bit confusing, especially most of us who say, well, what's the difference between anger and wrath? See, the Greek word behind the word anger is oger, or oga. It's a slow building type of anger. It's the one that kind of just builds up over time. Where thumos is wrath. It's the passionate, the hot anger, the fly off the handle type. But both of those are to be put away. And so we need to know how to deal with people who get angry. How do you deal with somebody who's quick-tempered? Because too often, these people don't think when they get angry. They just fly off the handle. And how do you stop somebody that's not really thinking? You know, in Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14, and in verse 17, he says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." And that's our theme for this month, is about fools. And that's the problem. The emotions that generated make people act foolishly because they're not thinking. They get overwhelmed by their emotions. Take a look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. "Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" It's overwhelming. It's like a flood. You just can't stand before it. And so therefore it's nearly impossible to reason with an angry person when they begin until they calm down. Now, one aspect that the scripture teaches us is in Proverbs 15. It says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stir up anger." One way to deal with this is to answer quietly. And the reason for that is that when you talk softly, the person who's angry has, if they want to hear what you say, has to calm down a little bit. They're going to have to take their volume down to hear you speak. And the other hint is in this passage also, don't use words that goad them into further anger. Sometimes it's tempting, especially when you're dealing with maybe like a hot-tempered teenager. It's so easy to, you know, push buttons. That's not going to help. It takes love for the person basically to stand there and take the abuse until they calm down. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." Now sometimes we get people that go a little bit overboard in the idea of love. And they know that a person who's angry is going to make foolish choices. And so they try to shield the person. They try to prevent them from hurting themselves and maybe hurting their future. But Proverbs 19 and verse 19 gives us a warning. It says, a man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, he will only have to do it again. Therein lies something that we have to keep in mind. Sometimes people have to face the consequences of what they do. If they lose their anger and they get in trouble, you probably have to leave them in trouble. Let them work out the problem so that they won't do it again. Being rescued from mistakes causes a person to become arrogant. And they say no need to change because damn, they didn't have any consequences. And so the next time it comes up, they're at it again. But it's not only dealing with other people who are hot-tempered. Hopefully we can understand and see sometimes in ourselves that we have difficulties with temper. And sometimes we fly off the handle. And we need to learn how to control ourselves. Now, the most common reason for getting angry is basically attempting to try to control something that you have no control over. You want it done your way, and they're not listening. And so we respond oftentimes in anger, trying to force things to conform the way we want it to be. But it's a futile attempt because you're forcing your will on somebody else. And you got to remember, when you're angry, you don't think well. And so often, alternatives that could be controlled are not considered. So what we find in this scriptures, in Proverbs 16, and in verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. I remember when the kids were little, they watched Sesame Street, and I got a little bit annoyed at the characters because they were telling the kids, well, when you get angry, well, just stomp your feet and scream and get it out of your system. No, that just builds it up. The Bible teaches us that we need to control our anger, to hold it back, to not let it become a flood. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. We don't want to give in to anger. Only fools do. So what do I do when I'm getting mad and somebody is not listening to what I say? Well, one of the things is I need to force myself to listen, to really hear the other person's point of view. James gives us this advice in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and in verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Gather your facts. Understand what really is going on. Too often we draw too quick conclusions, and they're wrong conclusions. So find out what's going on. Find out why things are happening. Far too often, the angry person is not really mad at reality, but he's mad about what he thought someone said or what he thought might happen. And when the reality is actually explained, the storm dissipates. Therein lies what we need to do. Find out what really is happening. And he also says to be slow to speak. In other words, don't be quick to interject your own opinions. Saying what you think will be then perceived as a challenge to the other person's character or integrity. That's probably something I need to work on. Because a lot of times I'm used to, you know, people that wanting advice, so I'm trying to give advice. But instead, we need to be gently giving feedback, giving responses that let the other person know we heard what they said, even if you don't agree with their conclusions. It isn't about winning a battle. It's about settling a disagreement. And so we need to hear what the other person says and let them know we heard. Maybe saying back what they have said to you in just in slightly different words. Let me see if I understand. You're meaning this. Oh, no? Okay. Explain this a little more to me. And one of the things also is difficult when you're angry or getting angry is a lot of times when people have poor positions, the tendency is to attack the other person. If they can't meet you on logic, then it becomes a personal attack. And so in Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs 19 and in verse 11, the advice is, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Ignore the insults. In fact, that's what Jesus meant when he said, turn the other cheek. Take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, if you think about it, you got to reverse these things, because if you're facing somebody and somebody slaps you on the right cheek, most people are right-handed. So what is he talking about? Kind of hard to do an open-handed slap on the right cheek. He's talking about type of slap. You know, like whether you see the old movies where the guy takes off his glove and slaps him across the cheek. It's an insult. He's not talking about a knockdown blow. He's talking about an insult. If somebody's insulting you, slapping you on the cheek, give them the other one. If someone is insulting your parentage, insulting your looks, ignore it. Continue the conversation. I guarantee you the person won't know what to do with that, because they're expecting the situation to blow up. They're wanting the anger to rise. We also need to understand for ourselves that being quick-tempered is a learned response. We learn it from other people. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. You hang around people who are hot-tempered, and the next thing you know, you start picking up the trait. You start imitating them. But we also talked about people who are slow to anger, the people who build up over time. Not slow as they're controlling their anger, but slow in the fact that they're just a gradual getting up to a boil type of person. How do you deal with that type of person? Jesus' advice in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you are thrown into prison. I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. Most problems need to be solved as quickly as possible. Don't let them build up over time. Putting off an issue is only going to build steam. Every once in a while, I run across somebody that tells me about how they haven't spoken to their sister in the last 20 years. Because of something that was said. I guarantee you, despite the fact 20 years have gone by, they hadn't let go of their anger yet. If anything, it's been building over that time. Because every little perceived slight becomes another piece of fuel in the fire. So we need to deal with the issues before it becomes a volcano. In Proverbs 16 and in verse 14, it says, the fury of a king is like the messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. When you're dealing with a king, he's the one in charge. Okay? You don't always have to get your way. That's sometimes what we forget. Even if you're right, sometimes it's best to step back just so things will get calm. And you need to treat the other person with kindness, even kindness that they don't deserve. I have this discussion with a young man that I talk to regularly. And he has a hard time with that. He sees things in black and white. He sees things in terms of justice. And sometimes the answer is, yeah, you're right, but back off. Take a look at what it says in Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, or be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We talked about this just a few days ago. The illustration that's being shown here is that of a blacksmith. How do you bend iron? You have to heat it up. You put burning coals on top of it, it softens the iron, and then it's bendable. How do you deal with a stubborn person who's just not going to let go? Heat them up with kindness. Do nice things. It's going to soften them so that they become more willing to bend. And don't provoke the other person. Again, just like the hot temper, you don't want to do this even with the person who's building steam over time. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. There's some examples here. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Sometimes we forget that as parents. We see that their kids are building up anger, and instead of resolving it, instead of settling the thing, we keep piling things on. Or Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that, hey, the kids aren't going to get mad at mom and dad, because there's rules and we have to say these are the rules. But don't let the anger build up until it explodes. Make sure things are settled. Too often people goad one another, saying things they know the other person doesn't like, and then act shocked that the dam that they've been chiseling at finally bursts. Take a look at Titus. Titus chapter 3. And in verse 9, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. And I've seen people in congregations do that. They have their hot topics. They constantly chisel at it. They constantly poke at it, knowing that the other person gets irritated at it, instead of trying to come to a resolution in regards to it. Pick your battles. Focus on the things that are really important. And we got to understand that when a person gets to the explosion stage, it can be dangerous. Take a look at Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, and in verse 2. Proverbs 20 and verse 2. The terror of a king is like a growling lion of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Well, put it in more modern day terms, don't irritate your boss. You'll lose your job. Back then it was a little more severe. You don't solve problems by causing people to build their anger. And what if you have that problem where you just, something irritates you and you just hang on to it and you can't let go of it? Well, the scriptures have answers to that as well. First off, in Psalms 37. Psalms 37 and in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil doing. If you find yourself constantly thinking about something, fretting over it, gnawing on it like a dog with a bone, you got a problem. It's not going to get resolved that way. You're not talking to the other person. You're not seeking out solutions. You're just letting the emotions build. There was a movie there not too long ago, Let It Go. And that's part of the problem that a lot of us have. We just can't let certain things go. Instead, the scriptures teach us to settle problems instead of putting them off until later. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And by that, he's basically saying, settle it that day. Don't draw it out. Get it resolved as quick as you can. Otherwise, there's going to be a buildup. And just like we said about the quick-tempered man, the slow-tempered man, by using kindness, we need to do the same thing for and understand it about ourselves. If I'm mad at somebody, and I'm the one that's building up, I need to step back and do kind things for that other person. Even though that person may not be getting mad, I need to do it for myself. Take a look at Romans chapter 12 again. Only this time we're going to start back at verse 19. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It works both ways. If somebody else, I'm just finding myself getting mad at them, and I start treating them kindly, you know what's going to happen to my viewpoint? I'm going to have a more balanced view of other people. Because we have a tendency when we start getting mad at somebody, we start to categorize, we put them in the pigeonhole, and everything they do is wrong. Well, that's not true of anybody. We need to have a better view of people and realize people are people. There may be some things that are wrong that needs to be settled, but that doesn't mean everything out about them is wrong. Another thing that we got to understand is forgiveness is not an option on our part. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 14, Jesus says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Your entrance into heaven is dependent on your ability to let things go. To give forgiveness. Now, of course, that means it's a whole lot easier if you settle problems. And a lot of people don't try to approach it. They don't try to settle it. And they hang on to the anger. And even if somebody says, you know what, I was wrong, forgive me. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. They're not letting it go. It's going to build up on time, over time. Forgiveness involves releasing the past. Jeremiah gives us a good example of God. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. It says, they will not again teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and their sin I will remember no more. Think about that. I get questions all the time. I did this horrible thing, and I know I asked God for forgiveness, but what's going to happen when I go to before God in judgment? He's going to bring that all up again. No, that's not what God means by forgiveness. When something's forgiven, it's as if it didn't happen. The person's treated as if it's not there. Now, yes, memories are still there. People still remember. But you treat a person as if it didn't happen. And that's tough at times. And it doesn't matter how often or how soon somebody has injured you. God expects us to forgive. Take a look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And in verse 1. He said to his disciples, it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than if he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. Now, notice there is a change of heart in the person you're dealing with. Oh, but he said he was going to repent earlier, and he did it again. Yeah, but how do you know he's not sincere this time? See, we don't get to read people's minds. We have to assume that they are repentant. And we're required to repent or forgive. Just as we expect God to forgive us, even though sometimes I blow it multiple times a day. Hopefully not too often as I get older, but sometimes it happens. And I want God to forgive me. I need to forgive my fellow man. Then also we need to keep in mind that sometimes people get mad because they're told the truth. And we need to stop and recognize if somebody's telling me something that is true, even though I don't want to hear it, I need to hear it. Take a look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul asked the Galatians, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? If somebody's telling me the truth, I need to respect them for it. And maybe it's a hard thing to hear, but then it just means I need to change. I need to conform myself to the truth. So what we need to do is put anger away. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. This is how we ought to treat one another. This is how we ought to learn how to treat ourselves. If there's anyone here this evening who is not yet a child of God, there's an opportunity to do so. If you are a child of God and perhaps have problems with your anger, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the select.